Right. Hey, before we start a new hour, hey, Alan Hunt, look at this. Mets Nationals in Washington, and we're calling this the Rally Rat.
Yes, that's what we do. Now, this wasn't in New York, but we know rats here in New York. Yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, sometimes it's a good rat. And you remember in what was it, in 73, they had a black cat go in front of the,
sure.
the Cubs.
Yes.
The Cubs dugout. Well, maybe this will rally the Mets. In the future, we'll
that's
have a rally
remembered very differently in Chicago than it is in New York. I can tell you that. No, all of us who work at the South Street Seaport, we're very accustomed to seeing rats.
Oh yeah,
on our walk-in.
They don't look like the rats in Seaport, though.
No.
I saw one moving furniture yesterday. It's a little different. The rat we get down here was.
And wonderful. That brings us back live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And there's only one place to begin, and that's with last night. The Sixers in Miami. They were MIA in MIA. Someone explain the biggest game of the year. The series tied at 2-2. James Harden so good in game four. But Tim Legler, what happened last night?
I just weren't ready to play. Not the appropriate level of fight at the start of the game. I mean, you cough it up early and give a home team easy baskets. Now you got a prop because you got a momentum in that building.
And then adding injury to insult. I mean, this is, Monica, the last thing in the world they need is Joel Embiid in the crowd. He's got a back. It's just a disaster.
We've seen the difference that he can make when he is playing, locked in and engaged. Injuries, just he just can't get any good luck.
And then he gets hit in the face, which if you're aware of what's been going on, Alan, obviously the fractured orbital socket, that's the worst thing.
Yeah, and you put him on the operation board and we can just see, like, it'll buzz wherever you go with his face, his thumb, his back. You saw earlier as well, he has been through it. He needs somebody else to step up and be a leader.
And last night, no one was even considering it. That's James Harden with another terrible-looking shot, and here come the Heat the other way. Legs, bam, Adebayo, the finish.
Everything they did was just so much faster than what the Sixers were able to muster. Just incredibly disappointing across the board.
And Jimmy Butler was the best player on the floor last night. 23 points for him. The Heat and a laugher. 35-point win. They're up 3-2. James, what the actual heck?
In the second round of the playoffs, on the road or in game five, it's not good enough just to play hard. You know what I mean? You got to play hard and you got to be able to think possession by possession. And we just didn't, you know, put enough thinking possessions together.
I want to watch the tape or burn the tape. I'm not sure which one. I'll probably watch it because I have to, and then I'll burn it. But we'll be ready next game. We have to be.
Wow. I mean, it's a 35-point loss. It's their largest in 35 games since they got Harden. Overall in this series, in three games in Miami, Philly is shooting 24%. They head home. We'll have game six tomorrow night. And Monica, I think the place I would start was this. When James Harden said it's not enough to play hard in a game like this, I would say that's probably true. But it would be a good place to start because I'm not sure who it is that suggested they were playing hard, but it didn't look like it to me.
We are at very basic level competitor conversation. They just absolutely never showed up. It was over after the first quarter. And so to be cavalier in a press conference, to kind of state the obvious, and not that we were expecting to get X's and O's, but gosh, there was no sense of urgency during the duration of the game. There was no sense of urgency in the press conferences. I don't understand how you get in this moment.
What we thought we saw from James Harden in game four, that fourth quarter, carryover, okay, maybe he's engaged, maybe he's locked in, that was gone. So that now becomes more the anomaly than what to expect going forward because he carried nothing with him to Miami out of that game. And so they're now in desperate straits. You can't ask Joel Embiid with all of his injuries to carry the team. He inspired them at home, but it was James Harden that had to come up with big plays to even the series. He was a no-show in this game, and that's alarming.
So, Legs, there's so many different places, and you know Philly as well as anybody does. There's so many places to look. Is most of the frustration today going to be aimed at Embiid, at Harden, at Doc? Where are we putting the finger of blame?
Oh, definitely. If you go with that totem pole, it's going to be Doc Rivers. I just know the pulse of it. It's pretty much Doc almost every time they struggle. They're past the point with Harden where they bring it up. As long as he's not, you know, completely awful. Last night, you can't even judge him because it was not a game. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what James Harden would have looked like.
But he's responsible for making it a game. I would disagree with that. I thought he was completely awful.
I'm telling you right now, the pulse of the city right now is collectively they weren't there. We do not know if James Harden was going to show up in the game because they were going to need him if the game was tight. That's when he's getting judged in Philly. Where is he when we need you in the second half of these games? So they never got to that point. No one's putting this on Embiid's lap because of what he's dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. I would say Doc probably getting the most of it. And even you know, Doc's comment right there. I mean, would you guys be, you know, inspired if you listen to your coach say, We'll be ready for game six, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to burn
we'll
the tape.
We'll be ready.
I have to watch
Does
the film.
Does that sound ready?
No.
It doesn't sound ready, but it feels as we watch this thing unfold, there's a degree of coddling. So I don't know that Doc crushing his team in the presser would have been
the
solution.
No, you don't have to. Okay. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I always like to watch press conferences, and I think to myself, what do I think would have been the perfect response rate? The perfect response is, listen, man, that's unacceptable.
Okay.
Collectively, ourselves included, myself included. But I tell you this, we're going to look different in game six when we get back to Philadelphia. I promise you that.
And that
what's wrong with saying that? That's not calling your team out. That just sounds like certain about what is about to happen. He didn't sound very sure about anything going into the next game. You're still in the series. You got a chance to force a game seven, which could be anything happens scenario, and you could potentially get to the next round.
Monica, here's what I will say, and that is that I'm not suggesting anyone is above blame when you have a disaster of that magnitude last night. But to me, to put that on the coach, when a team comes out uninspired in their biggest game of the year, I think that to blame that performance last night, first and foremost, on the coach, to me, would be a mistake.
It is inevitable in this conversation, as we've already heard machinations of whether or not there needs to be a different guy to unlock James, which I don't particularly buy, but it you understand how you ultimately end up being there. And in so many ways, teams, even at the pro level, to a degree, as we've seen in other series, take on the personality of their coaches.
Yep.
And there was just no energy at all from the Sixers camp.
Is James locked? I mean, if we need to unlock James, he should have everything he wants. He got himself out of the two places he didn't want to be to get to the place that he wants to be. Why is he locked?
It's a disconnect. It's a disconnect with the coach. It's a disconnect maybe even with the star, but you see it. This is what he does when he is not locked in, when he is not somebody that feels good about his situation. And really, when was the last time he was completely happy with his situation? James Harden, I'm talking about. It has been a while now. He got heavy in Houston to force his way out of there. Then he was unhappy in Brooklyn and wanted out of there. He gets what he wants again when he lands in Philly. He doesn't look happy again. And you can tell it's a disconnect. I've covered the NBA for over 15 years. What you see in post games a lot of times, just like Legs is saying, you will get from players what the coach said to them in the room. They will find a way to say it to you, to the media, because that's what I just heard, so I'm going to regurgitate it to you. That low energy you saw in the postgame tells me that there's a disconnect between the head coach and its team, and there's a lot of decisions that need to be made whenever this season ends for them.
I love that point. I also know, living there as long as I have, what James Harden has experienced to this point in his career with disappointment and scrutiny over such disappointment doesn't compare to what he's dealing with now. What he has dealt with for the last 2 months, it's just different in that market. And he's feeling that. So my point being, over time, that starts to have a weight on you, particularly when you can make decisions about your future, where you want to be. So we're using the word disconnect here a lot. Is part of it just like, this isn't a lot of fun if it's not going well, particularly in that market. And he's feeling some of that, too. Now, the other night was great. He rolled back the clock, had a vintage James Harden game. I've been saying it for 2 months. He has lost enough to make him guardable by more people. And he had a great game. That's not a trend. That was one night, and now all that did, that just set the bar for the game five. We need it again out of you, and now he's going to feel what that sounds like over the next 48 hours in Philadelphia. It's not going to be something he's going to like to hear.
Listen, you got to make the fun. I hear you. Losing sucks, winning is fun. You got to make the fun, and that requires grit. That requires powering to showing up consistently. So I don't know what's going on.
But Monica, we see teams that are miserable. The 04 Lakers were miserable, right? You see these teams that just, you could tell. The Jazz this year, miserable. Even though up front, they put up the front, everything's fine, we like each other, don't drive a wedge between us and all that stuff. You watch the game, they're uninspired. And so what you see from the Sixers is the same thing. When they're home, the role players get up, they get energy from the home crowd. That's one of the best places to play when the crowd is rocking, and they feed off of that. And I think James Harden heard a lot of people talking about his money. And that's why game four, he did what he did, because people were talking about his money. And now he goes, okay, I did my job. It's 2-2. He comes down here. You started the game off.
Oh, God.
Well, that's what he thinks.
I feel you. Okay.
You started the game off not as a leader, not as a guy who's taking ownership of the franchise, saying, I'm here and we're going to win this series now. He took a step back, or whatever he did, or maybe again it's South Beach.
I want to one last point on this situation, because I think it's a dynamic in Philadelphia that exists with what they want. They can handle you not playing well. They can, that fan base and that media base can handle it. What they can't handle is it doesn't mean as much to you as it does to them.
Yeah.
You don't go home and lose sleep over this stuff. My week is, not me, but I'm saying this is the way to fantasy. My week is ruined because the Eagles lost on a late field goal. I can barely get to work this week. That's how much that bothers me. And that's all they want out of their athletes. They'll take you not playing well, but does it hurt you to lose? And that's the part that we don't know if it really eats at him the way that they want it to. And that's what we're going to find out.
If that is the absolute belief, then I think there should have been some serious consideration before making this deal, because James Harden has never been that guy.
Well, I think there were a lot of people wondering if they should go down this road. Look, they went all in. I do know this. They had a guy that wasn't going to play for them, and they got a point guard that could score to put them in a conversation with Embiid as, hey, now we are a contender. We weren't before with Ben Simmons, and certainly not with him sitting at home. They made the move that Daryl Morey waited all year to make, and they're all in on this. But there were people questioning whether this was something that was going to work out ultimately.
And I'll say it again. Jimmy Butler may not be the easiest person in the world to get along with. I don't know that personally, but that seems to be the reputation. His teams don't ever look like that.
No.
He doesn't sleep at night when his team doesn't play well. And they chose a whole bunch of people over him once upon a time. And that, I think, is the beginning of their undoing. The process really ended when they decided we'd rather have these other guys than Jimmy Butler.
They moved him out because he didn't agree with the coach at the time, Brett Brown.
And I think Ben Simmons too. But one way or another, we'll see. All right, let me leave that there for the moment. We will come back to it, I promise. The other game also kind of stunk, mostly in the second half. Suns Mavericks. It was close in the first half, legs, but you got Devin Booker, who was doing his thing. He had 16 in the first half.
My dog Guinness had no interest in the first game. He was locked in for at least the first half of this one. He was intently staring at the screen, mostly because he was watching Devin Booker be great.
I like a dog named Guinness. By the way, how about that shot from Luka Doncic? 28 points for him as he was going to the ground. And this one was a three-point game at halftime, but then, Monica, it was the Suns who just opened up a can in the third quarter.
They went to a bigger lineup with Biombo and Shamet on the floor at times, and you saw them just using their length, flying around, connected on defense, allowing their defense to create some easy offense. It was beautiful.
And, Alan, you made a point. It was a good adjustment that Monty Williams made.
Yeah, he had to. You weren't getting a lot out of campaign, so you go to Landry Shamet, you get something out of Biombo, who gave you some physicality, blocks some shots, just taking up space in the paint, making things difficult for a Mavs team that is clearly, they love home cooking. They do not like to play on the road.
Yeah, because the role players don't show up. Lucan could do his thing, but it's not enough. Booker winds up with 28 points. DeAndre Ayton had 20 points, 9 rebounds. The Suns win by 30. They take a 3-2 series lead. And so a nice performance from them. Games 3 and 4 at halftime yesterday, they were only up by 3. But the third quarter is when they turned it on, outscoring Dallas 33-14. To start the runaway. Overall this season, Phoenix is 53-0 when leading after three quarters. All right, coming up, just call him TV12. Tom Brady reveals his post-retirement plans. There is one big question that they create, and we will answer that question coming up. Plus, did you see what the Lakers owner, Jeannie Buss, had to say about LeBron and the mess with her team in L.A.? You'll hear it, and we'll talk about it as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and let's go, likely or unlikely. Tim Legler, are the Sixers likely or unlikely to force a game 7?
Well, based on last night, Greedy, obviously my answer is likely. I mean, why am I saying that? I don't know. But look, they're going home. I do believe they're going to dig deep, particularly I think Embiid and Maxey. I've got faith in both of those guys showing up in a big way. I think Harden will play better, but I think Embiid is going to be the guy we're talking about. They get that to a game 7.
Monica McNutt, are the Mavericks likely or unlikely to force a game 7?
I got unlikely on this one, Greeny. I think we talk about teams taking on the personalities of their coaches and the adjustments that Monty Williams was willing to make. I think the Suns figure it out, and this performance we saw last night travels with them. Great game, but I do think the Suns win based on experience.
And then finally, Legs, we got Celtics-Bucks tonight. Likely or unlikely, the winner of that series wins the Eastern Conference.
I'm going to offend everybody in Miami, but I'm going to say I feel certain about that, actually. I love whoever comes out of this series to get on to the NBA Finals. I think these are the two teams we're looking at. At some point, hopefully, Middleton, if it's Bucks, Middleton makes an appearance in the Conference Finals if they beat Boston.
All right, we will see. Brian Windhorst will jump in here as this conversation continues a little later in the hour. Meantime, to the NFL. It's schedule release week, and I got a great squad today. Marcus, give me a game you cannot wait this season to see.
Gee, it's the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs, and we see it twice. We talked about this AFC West, but I got the Los Angeles Chargers winning this division, and it's because of what they've done from a defensive standpoint. Kansas City is going to be good. They're going to be a playoff team, but I believe the Chargers did the necessary things this offseason to put themselves as the top dog in the AFC West as of right now.
Sacha, what's a game you can't wait to see?
Man, it's all about the Thanksgiving games, and I want to see the Thanksgiving Detroit Lions game. I don't know who they're playing yet, and maybe the Miami Dolphins. I don't know yet, but here's the thing. You added Jameson Williams, who was
just
the
stop. Just
best.
Stop. I can't let you continue. I mean, there's no way the answer to this question can be the Lions.
Yes.
No, it can't.
Dude, they had one of the best offensive lines last year, number one. Number two, DeAndre Swift, TJ Hawkinson. I want to see what Jameson Williams looks like. On Thanksgiving, I want to see Aiden Hutchinson. I want to see what these players develop into.
How many Thanksgivings are we going to let them ruin before we
take
them off
of Thanksgiving? They're not going to ruin this one. They're not going to ruin it. Y'all don't want to see Aiden Hutchinson and Jameson Williams?
Sure.
Yeah. Sacho, you didn't have to say that to be different.
I like Thanksgiving a lot.
You didn't have to say that to be different. Nobody wants to see
that. You don't want to see Aiden Hutchinson?
Sacho, we're not attacking you. We're attacking the team. All right, Graziano, what's a game you can't wait to see?
I know. The Broncos at the Seahawks. Russell Wilson going back to Seattle. I don't know whether it's on Thanksgiving or when it's going to be, but I'm interested to see how he plays back there. He was Mr. Seattle. Now he's working on being Mr. Denver. I think they got a dog and named him Bronco. So he's all the way in on Denver. What will the reception be for Russell in Seattle?
I think Tim Tebow once had a dog named Bronco. Then he went to the Jets. He changed its name to Bronx. In the meantime, if you're just getting up this morning, Fox just announced their game. So, you know, we've got every day a different announcement of a different game with the schedule coming out tomorrow. And this is a good one. November 13th, Cowboys at Packers. It's Mike McCarthy's return and all the rest of that to Green Bay. So the schedule coming out now in drips and drafts. Speaking of Fox announcements, they made a pretty big one yesterday. Tom Brady is headed there. Whenever his career ends, TB12 will become TV12, and he'll become even richer than he's ever been, which is to say, the New York Post says his deal is going to be 10 years, $375 million, which is a staggering amount of money, and even more so when you consider that it's actually $58 million more than he's made playing. So he's actually going to make more money talking about football than he ever made playing it. And again, Sacho, I will give you the first word as you step directly into one of my longstanding radio bits about the Lions there. So I will give you the first word. Tom Brady, what? $375 million. What do we say about this?
I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. For you to play for that long, and then you're not even done playing, yet you have $375 million on the table for you. When you're ready. And the key for me is when you're ready. Tom Brady's going to play this year. At least he said he's going to play this year. He has the potential of playing next year somewhere else. There's been a lot of talk about him going to Miami. That was supposed to happen. Then all that we saw in Miami happened with the legal settlement, all that kind of stuff. And so Tom Brady could play this year and go to TV and make $375. Mm-hmm. Could play next year, go to TV the year after that. And so for me, this is a huge, it's a boss move for Tom Brady.
Hey, listen, but Graziano, I keep hearing people talking about Brady not only beyond one more season, but beyond this team playing for another team.
The contract voids at the end of this year, so he'll be a free agent, be able to go wherever he wants, very much like his last season in New England. So if it's true about his flirtation with Miami, and we see him everywhere, he's Mr. Miami, where he's at the Formula One, he's everything that's going on down there, then it will be available to him, and Fox can wait. But I mean, can you imagine? You're so good at your job that they're going to pay you more to do a job they don't even know if you can do.
Yeah.
Like, you've never done it before.
Yes.
Here's a record amount of money for it.
He's hanging out down there in Miami. There's the picture that everyone was talking about with him and Jordan. There's the group of the GOATs with Lewis Hamilton and David Beckham.
How right does that look?
Go.
Miami.
I figured it out, G. I figured it out. Oh. I was thinking about this when we talked about it from early. Tom Brady is an AI. He's an AI. Like, he's an artificial intelligence experiment that has went phenomenally well. Okay? That's what he is. There's nothing that this dude do that tells you he's human. How in the hell do you get damn near $400 million doing at something you ain't never done before? You are AI. They are bringing Tom Brady in to get his information and brain power to download into somebody else so we'll have another one in the next 100 years. That's what it is, man. I'm telling y'all. I'm bringing up conspiracy theories right now based on Tom Brady and what he's able to do. He's about to be 45. He's about to play in the NFL at quarterback against dudes that wasn't even born when he started playing in the league. He is a robot. He is artificial intelligence done right. Whoever built him in whatever lab, they got this one right. And they figured out that he's going to be able to do all of these things. And we are going to give him stuff before he even gets to those areas because we know that he's been downloaded with the correct information to do the job at a very high level. Grass, that's why he almost got $400 million. That's like why they don't care if they know if he can do the job well. He's artificial.
I like this theory. I want to know what the models are that didn't work out. Like is Baker Mayfield, like, did that game close on him, but it just couldn't. There was something missing in the, right? Like, yeah. There's a couple kicking around the league.
Carson Wentz got a glitch. Carson Wentz got a glitch.
I like
he
this
He got
idea.
A glitch in him. It's a glitch in him. Yeah, yes. Man. I'm telling y'all.
My entire life, the Jets have had the models that didn't work out. Super quickly. I got 30 seconds for this. Marcus, I'm starting with you. Super quick. The first time he goes on Fox as an analyst, when they introduce him, how many rings will he have? They'll say he's a 7-time champion, 8-time champion. Not, how many will he have? How many time champion will he be the day he starts on Fox?
They'll say 7-time champion. I think the Rams are still going to come out the NFC this year.
7. Yeah, I'm going 7.
Can I go 8? Can he
get
one more?
That's
more
interesting.
I think he's still going to play a couple more years.
Yeah. Sure. You just said you wanted to see the Lions
you only
on
said
that's
a good point.
You can say anything.
All right. As we continue, I don't know how many rings we're going to be handing out in Philly anytime soon. A Game 5 disaster for the Sixers. Joel Embiid, James Harden. It was a disaster. How do they not show up for the biggest game of their year? We're talking about it. Plus, how much trouble are Giannis and the Bucks in? The big ingredient Milwaukee is missing that could send Boston through to the next round. We're talking about it. Let's get up on ESPN. I love you, Detroit.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
As the NBA playoffs advance, we know a couple of things. Stars will shine and the tension will mount. Get Up has the voices telling you what each win and loss means and how the biggest names are affected. Get Up, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on ESPN.
In fact, we have Maul in our studio right now coming off Sixers Heat last night. Series tied at 2. Joel Embiid and teammates making the trip down there. Tim Legler, it was just an awful night in every way, including Embiid getting hit in the face.
Yeah, I felt that one. I mean, I honestly, my head started to hurt just thinking about the pain he must have been in, catching that ball through his face. Doc upset, but he didn't understand the ball was deflected into his face. You see, Devin didn't even make contact with him. Man, you felt for him what he's going through right now.
I do. And Embiid, I think, to me, it gets the least of the blame for just what a disaster this thing was in every way. Harden with a miss there, Monica, and the Heat going the other way.
Transition basketball, a thing of beauty. I mean, listen, the Heat, you could see them playing with confidence. Oh, y'all going to make it this easy? We're going to take full advantage of it.
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler getting the most of it down there. He had 23 on a night where the Heat had balance and they had it easy. They win by 35 to take a 3-2 series lead. And after the game, Embiid was deflated.
This is a lose-lose situation for me. You know, if I don't play, you know, probably get called soft. And, you know, if I play and I play bad, you know, probably say, you know, probably come up with a bunch of stuff that I guess he's just not good enough. So, you know, it's all about really, you know, try to dig very deep and try to do, you know, whatever I can.
So Stephen A. Smith watching the game last night tweeted, or was it that Joel Embiid was mad over not getting league MVP honors? Hey, he got my vote, but it wasn't like it went to some scrub. It went to Jokic, who Embiid respects. You just got to have more fight than we saw tonight. To be clear, for those of you who didn't not only see the game, but sort of follow the discussion around it, there's been some conversation, Tim Legler, that maybe Embiid, upon finding out he didn't win MVP, which is something he did sort of openly campaign for this year and certainly deserved to be right there in the conversation, that maybe that had some impact on his performance.
There's going to be a lot of that floated out there today. You are not going to hear that from me, I'm going to tell you right now, because I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. If I start to think that way at all, with all the respect that I have for this guy right now, not only the year that he's had, he turned his entire career around, in my opinion, but by getting in shape and his conditioning and his seriousness with which he took this season and playing through these injuries right now. So I don't want to entertain that, because that would influence some of the things that I just said and how much I respect him, because this was the biggest game of the season. This is your chance to give your team an opportunity to go home and close this series out, your one home game remaining. So I don't want to entertain that. But you're going to hear a lot of that today. I just don't think there's much to it.
And to be clear, I heard it from Charles last night, Charles Barkley on TNT. And Monica, I want to make clear what his point was, that sometimes if you're angry, that maybe Embiid was angry, and that anger can push you in one direction or the other. It wasn't that he thought, okay, I didn't win MVP, so I'm not going to play hard. But it was that perhaps the anger that he felt at that somehow got him in a bad mental state. That's what Barkley was saying last night.
Well, we talk about athletes and competitors finding ways to motivate themselves. Ideally, you would have hoped that anger would have been positive fuel, right? That would have had him show up. But, I, you know, speaking of last night, I thought Kenny Smith's point about the MVP is oftentimes on a team that you see being a championship team, and the MVP is a byproduct of that. Looking at it through that lens, I thought actually was very powerful as well.
And of course, Jokic's team is out already, and Embiid's team is now in big trouble. So, Alan, just as you look at this situation last night, it is so inexplicable, and we've tried to make some sense of it this morning, that this team that looked so good two nights before goes down to Miami with their with everything in the world on the line and never looked into it from the beginning.
Yeah, flat is the word you use, and that's the disconnect you wonder of leadership or lack thereof. And when you talk leadership, you talk coaching. And is it a disconnect with their coaching? But, you know, the ultimate revenge is success. So if you're mad about not getting the MVP, you take it out on Bam Adebayo. You take it out on P.J. Tucker. You don't let them do what they were doing to him, which is pushing him out of the paint and making it difficult for him. But you also hold your teammates accountable. That's what you have to do. You have to make sure that everybody understands that how important this game is.
And he wasn't doing that, and he didn't do it in the post game.
Yeah, the little issue with the audio there, I think we've got it fixed, and I think we could hear.
I yelled as loud as I could. I'm a New Yorker.
The frustration, let's put it this way, the Philly talk show hosts, you're going to hear them without microphones today. So let me put a ribbon on this, because we've talked so much about this game all day long. Legler, do they bounce back? We'll have them tomorrow night for game 6 here on ESPN. Do the Sixers bounce back and make this a 7-game series?
I think they do. And here's the interesting thing about this team. I've seen them all year long cave to the moment within the game, but it's not a cumulative effect. I think they bounce back. I do. I think they come back with a lot of energy in that game, and they play to get it to a game 7, and we know the odds of winning a game 7 on the road, historically what that's going to mean, but I do believe they've got one more great effort in them this season.
We'll see. And so we all want to see it, but Monica, you know who wants to see it more than anybody else? Guinness Legler. This is Legs'
oh, no
dog
doubt.
Who travels with him and is watching the games.
My guy. That's my dude. Hey, and by the way, that's not an old picture with him behind the wheel of the car. He actually is my driver. He's sitting outside right now. I told him to familiarize yourself with the streets of Seaport, because he's going to be right out front picking me up when this hits over.
Oh, what a cutie.
What do you think, Monica?
He's such a good sport. Look, he's great. I mean, I'm sorry that last night's games weren't entertaining for him. I feel his same pain.
Yeah, no, definitely not. He tuned out. Went to his bully stick and not to be heard from again.
Fair enough. All right, so we got that. Now, tonight, the other series in the East has been absolutely fascinating. This has felt like a heavyweight title fight from the very beginning. And the notable storylines, you got Giannis. He's averaging 32 points a game, but it hasn't been efficient. He's shooting 44% from the floor. That would be his lowest in a series since 2015. Maybe a lot of that has to do with the defense, and maybe some of it has to do with Chris Middleton's absence. It has been felt, especially down the stretch. The Bucks have been outscored by 28 points in the fourth quarters in this series. And Jason Tatum, he's been up and down, averaging 30 points per game on nearly 50% shooting in wins, just under 16 points and below 30% shooting in losses. And the game he really struggled was game three on Saturday on the road, when they really could have taken a stranglehold, if you will, on this series if he had played even his C game. But he played even worse than that. And so one thing leads to another, and here we sit. So, Alan, you're the chronicler. How do we chronicle where this series is right now? Best of three, Boston as the home court.
Yeah, this is, we talk legacy games, we get real dramatic about it. But I look at this also, Jason Tatum. This is your, again, we watch him. We've been talking about it, Monica, mm-hmm. right, for a couple of weeks mm-hmm. now. Because your pelt's on the wall. You've got Kevin Durant already. Can you get Giannis? Well, here's one on the road, step up. Al Horford really seemed to inspire them. And in that last game. And what happens, of course, is the young players like a Tatum feeds off that, has a huge fourth quarter. And now it's for you winning time. Now it's for you to see what happened with the Sixers, and don't let that happen. Make sure you're ready to go. And he's got to lead the way tonight.
Legs, X and O this for me here. As we sit here now, adjustments. We talked about how Monty Williams is still at game five of the series. He's still making adjustments. Are there any changes you could see for either side?
I look at it like this. I'm still waiting for certain guys that haven't made the appearance the way they need to in this series. And that's why I think the Bucks have a great chance to win. I know I'm in the minority on this. Drew Holiday has not played well offensively. I just can't imagine he's not going to have at some point a really efficient game where he gets you more than 20. Bobby Portis, you know, I've said this about Bobby Portis for the last 2 years. One basket from Bobby Portis is equal to four from any other player on their roster. The way their team reacts to what he does, particularly when they are at home. Bobby Portis, the last two games, has not really helped them. He averaged 15 in the five games prior. These are two critical offensive threats without Middleton. So, look, you look at what Horford's doing right now. Can he continue to play this well? Tatum's been really good except one game. Jaylen Brown's been solid. You look at the Bucks, I think there's more there. And look, bottom line is this. I'm putting my chips on Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm betting on his greatness. And that's why I think the Milwaukee Bucks still can win this series.
Legs, my guy, why do we keep doing this?
What?
We will not give this Celtics defense their due. Like, Drew Holiday, you're right. But Drew Holiday also is sort of contingent on the space that Chris Middleton occupies. And so I don't know that he's going to be able to unlock without him being there as a weapon to also thwart some of the defensive attention. But to me, we did the same thing versus the Nets. KD will figure it out. We trust Giannis. They'll make adjustments. Why are we continue to undersell the Celtics defense in my mind? Al Horford has
held. And that's why Drew Holiday has struggled.
Right, exactly. And Al Horford has held Giannis, when he's the primary defender, to 30% from the field. Like, everybody else, he's something around 50. But I just think overall, this Celtics defense, to me, continues to prove it.
I just think it's amazing. Listen, nobody's not going to give the Boston Celtics credit to defense. I know how good they are and how good they have been. No question about it. What I'm saying to you is, there's a lot of talk right now as if this is a lopsided series. Mm. The Bucks had a 12-point lead in the late third, early fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah.
What would this conversation look like if they win that game? Right now, it's like, oh, Bucks have no shot because the Celtics defense is suffocating them. It's like, all right, look, Giannis Antetokounmpo is still going to do his thing. He got gassed the other night, yep. And that is a large part to their defense. But again, I don't think that's a cumulative thing. He's gassed at the end of game four, so now he's going to be gassed earlier in game five. No, that was that game for whatever reason. He was bent over late in the game holding his shorts while they're running sets. It got to him. Grant Williams, Horford, Marcus Smart, they got to him. I still think if there's one guy that can play through it in this kind of moment, it's Giannis because of his mental and physical toughness.
So here's the thing for me. I agree with you. I think Giannis can play through it, but there's a really fine line between him playing through it and starting to press, which is almost what the Celtics would want him to do, where he becomes inefficient, right? When you look at his percentages in games they've won versus games that they've lost, it's such a fine line. And to your point, he does need to be able to rely on some of his role guys who haven't showed up. But I continue to say that's partly because of that Celtics D.
And I would just finish it by saying, to some degree, I think we have seen the lack of respect for Chris Middleton in this series, which is, I'm not suggesting any of the people at this table, but I'm not hearing nearly enough of that. If you took Jaylen Brown off the Celtics, this would be a very different series. Mm-hmm. You take a team's second best player out of what is otherwise basically a dead even series, it makes an enormous difference. They miss Chris Middleton because he is a legit NBA star, not a superstar, but a star. And if I don't think you overcome that as easily as people seem to suggest they should be overcoming it.
When I watch games, I don't really root. I don't have a team I have rooting against. Yeah. But based on this conversation, I'm pulling so hard for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. No. I have never been this about Giannis. Get your Giannis jersey, buddy. It's in your little bag we packed. Go get your Giannis jersey, put it on. Because I am pulling for the Bucks tonight. And I never root for this. That's my guy. Hey, can bring the car around, by the way. I'm almost done. I got 30 minutes. I'll see you out front, buddy. See you out front.
It would not shock me if the Bucks win. I just think overall we continue to do this thing with the Celtics. We're not giving them
I just love the idea of the Giannis and Giannis.
I need to put that together. It's very good.
Well, we're going to have game six tomorrow night. We have two game sixes tomorrow night, actually. We're sure both of them, both these series have gone six. So we will have Heat Sixers tomorrow, 7 Eastern. Then we will have Suns Mavs. We'll start your night with Countdown at 6:30 Eastern. We will have at least one game six on Friday night as well, and we'll see if it turns out to be two. So we're going to be jam-packed here all weekend long with the hoops starting tomorrow night. Meanwhile, more basketball coming up. The genie is out of the bottle. The Lakers owner Jeannie Buss unloading on the state of her franchise. You need to hear what she said, and you need to know what it means. We got it all covered next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we are back, and amidst all the other things we have going on, yesterday there's an interview published in the LA Times in which Lakers owner Jeannie Buss voiced her displeasure with where the Lakers are as an organization. They missed the playoffs this year despite having the fourth highest payroll. And while she threw her full support behind the general manager, Rob Pelinka, she did say she's taken advice from familiar faces like Magic Johnson and Phil Jackson. Here's a little bit of what she said. This is her quote on LeBron James and the influence that he and Clutch Sports have. Quote, do they have final say? No. Are they running the team? No, not at all. As she did then add about LeBron, I want him to feel confident in the team that we have the pieces to win a championship. He has to be happy. I want to make sure that he's happy. So there's a lot here to react to. She said a lot of different things, but those are the ones that sort of jumped off the page at us. Let me bring the squad back in here. I've got Legler, and we bring Brian Windhorst into the conversation this morning. He's on the road with Boston, Milwaukee, and the big Swagoo will chime in as well because no one is as much into this stuff as he is. But, Wendy, I will start with you. Jeannie Buss is, I think, one of the most well-liked and respected people in the sport, but there are a lot of people who have a lot of questions clearly about the direction of the franchise. What was your reaction to the things she said yesterday?
Well, I think she was really trying to speak to the Laker fans. You know, recently there was a poll done by one of the major fan websites that covers the Lakers that showed a dropping confidence level in her. And I know her perception with the fans is very important to her. So I think she wanted to set the record straight about Kurt and Linda Rambis. She spoke about that directly. She wanted to set the record straight about Rich Paul and LeBron James, connection and control of the franchise. She wanted to set the record straight about Phil Jackson. She says, I'm not going to deny the rumors. I'm listening to him. I'm talking to him. I'm having lunch with him. And so I think she wanted to get that out there. The most relevant thing that she said to me, Greeny, was complaining about the payroll, because that's something that could affect the decisions that she makes about this team going forward. She said it was unacceptable for them to have the fourth highest payroll and not make the playoffs. And it just goes back to the catastrophic Russell Westbrook trade, because not only did it not work on the court, it added $8 million to their payroll, and that was the amount of money that they would, you know, basically refuse to pay Alex Caruso and let him walk. And so she is just enumerating further how hurtful that was to the team and her personal finances.
Yeah, and they go in deep into the luxury tax, and they wind up, as you mentioned, not even making the play-in. So, Swagoo, I'm interested to hear your perspective. There's a lot of different angles here. One of the things people have pointed out is that when you're listening to that many people, I mean, you've got Rob Pelinka, you've got Phil Jackson, you've got Magic Johnson, you've got Kurt and Linda Rambis. When it can be difficult to make decisions when you are enlisting that many people to weigh in. What's your take on all this, Swagoo?
Gee, it's relevant in sports, it's relevant in business, it's relevant in family. Streamline the damn conversation. Figure out who has responsibility for what, and then you can immediately tell who's not doing their job effectively. I think listening to Legs and Wendy and the NBA guys talk about it, the cooks in the kitchen, right? How many do you have, and who's actually calling the shots? And the fact that Jeannie Buss has to come out and kind of clear things up about who is doing what in the organization, that's a problem within itself. Now, obviously, we saw on the court it not work out between LeBron and Russell Westbrook, and there's basketball reasons for that. Ball-dominant guys, how does Russell Westbrook work off the ball? How can he implement himself in the offense, a championship-level offense, and be what they need him to be? But ultimately, when I hear this come from Jeannie Buss, when I hear Wendy talk about it, and I was looking at it and listening to it yesterday, the one thing that came to my mind is, with all of the success that this franchise and organization has had in the NBA, with all of the success that they've had with their stars, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's of the world, the James Worthy's, obviously Magic, obviously Kobe Bryant, LeBron comes in and wins a championship, it's like this with the Lakers. They're looking for a level of consistency, as they should, because they are the Los Angeles Lakers. And people have to wonder about who's making decisions. That's the problem within itself.
And then, Legs, Wendy brought up one piece that I think is very relevant to the moment. The other, of course, is LeBron. If you're LeBron and you're reading that, I have no reason to believe that he's not in regular communication. In fact, Jeannie Buss said that they are in regular communication about the direction of the franchise. If you're LeBron sitting right now and you're reading that and you're assessing the situation, how are you feeling?
I actually think LeBron James understands that Jeannie Buss is doing what she needs to do, and I don't think he's going to think that in any way he was slighted or his influence was somehow diminished. I think everybody knows that's the way it works in the NBA, particularly. Star players do have influence. They are guys that you need to consult with because of their mindset and their mental, really, well-being with who they're playing with is so important to your success that you'd be derelict to not include them. But I don't think LeBron's going to feel slighted by that. I love the points that both Wendy and Swagoo made, which is this. You know, who's ultimately responsible? And think the fact that you're even having a conversation, as Swagoo said, that you don't know the answer to that. Think about the way that any successful organization or business is talked about. You never doubt it. If somebody says, well, who made that decision? Who's in charge? You know a name that you could throw out with a successful business,
right?
Or a successful organization in sports. I don't know that we know the answer to that question. Who's pounding that gavel for the Lakers organization?
Well, let me ask Wendy about it. And Cindy, our director, just let me know, if we still have that full screen where she commented on Rob Pelinka, we could put that up. Because she did in the midst of all of this, say the one thing that no one believes, which is that Rob Pelinka is the person who's in charge and that he has her full confidence. We're going to get that up there for you so you can see it. She said, in terms of basketball decisions, I have complete confidence in our front office. Rob Pelinka is a person that's extremely smart, strategic. Everything he does is thoughtful and with purpose. I have complete confidence that he can put together a roster and find a coach that is going to get us back to where we belong. Usually when a person needs that many words to explain something, I start questioning whether they really mean it. Wendy, who is ultimately in charge besides Jeannie Buss in L.A.?
Well, you're shorting a few cooks in the kitchen because Jeannie is also leaning on her brothers, Joey and Jesse Buss, who I have been told have sat in on at least some of the Zoom coaching interviews so far. But I will say that a lot of people in the league and the Lakers organization respect Joey and Jesse Buss's opinion. So I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, but that's even more folks involved. And, you know, I don't have a clean answer for you on how the decision is going to get made, because I do think Phil Jackson has had input on previous coaching decisions. I don't think this is necessarily a new thing. But from the LeBron side, as far as I understand, and it's before I say this, it's important with LeBron, you have to keep taking the temperature. Just because it's certain one way on a Wednesday doesn't mean it will be next Friday. But from what I understand, you know, LeBron and Jeannie are in a good place right now. That, you know, despite the frustrations of this season, LeBron believes that a few tweaks and some health can actually turn this thing around and they can be super competitive. He is invested, wants to be there. Now, let's see where it is in August, because in August he has a decision, and so do the Lakers, about a contract extension. But there's some time between now and then.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment, but the one thing that you do look at and you say, the coaching decision is one thing. They have a lot of other, and in the big picture, maybe more important decisions to make. We'll see where they go. All right, the Stanley Cup playoffs continue here. First round has been awesome. Tonight we have three game fives. Penguins looking to finish off the Rangers at 7 Eastern here on ESPN. We've got the Caps and Panthers on ESPN2. That series tied at 2. And the Stars and Flames finish off your night on ESPN. A full night of Stanley Cup playoff hockey here on ESPN. And ESPN2. Meanwhile, First Take coming up top of the hour. They're asking if last night's blowout in Miami was more about the Heat or about the Sixers. Stephen A. Molly and Big Perk, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, don't miss it. Tomorrow night we have the season's NFL schedule release show, 8 Eastern on ESPN2. NFL Network will also have coverage. Ours will be led by Laura Rutledge with Teddy Bruschi, Damian Woody, Shefty will be there. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be there. Don't miss it tomorrow night. It's a two-hour special. But I know that Tim Legler and his dog Guinness will not be watching that. You guys will be watching Hoops tomorrow night. Let's get one more look at your beloved little. What kind of dog is Guinness?
My guy, he is a Pomeranian Shih Tzu mix rescue. Believe it or not, I got this little guy. He was rescued from a kill shelter, Greeny. This dog was going to be euthanized. We rescued him, and he has been an incredible addition to our family, and apparently now an enormous Bucks fan because of all the heat I'm taking over that series.
And he's right now just sitting in a hotel room waiting for you.
Well, he's actually behind the wheel of that car right there. He's sitting outside. That's one thing. I put him to work when he travels.
All right, bring it around, Guinness, because we're ready to go. Our show is done. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, First Take starts now.